dial them if you got them. Text line 343-0106. It's Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5. Also, our 1-800-GOT-JUNK online opinion poll question. Should paid sick leave be a right? Now, you heard the Democrats talk about it in Washington, and quickly thereafter, they picked up the baton there over at AL.com in the opinion section and started talking about paid sick leave being a right. You know, it's a tough, in a short measure. I've said, you know, as always, I have this strange, moderated view on things. The discussion of the vaccine, I would argue that maybe if the vaccine comes in at some price, 10 or 20 bucks or something like that, if the federal government wants to provide the vaccine for people who want to get it for coronavirus down the road, they don't even have it yet, but if they did, yeah, I might say that's a actually okay place to spend government money, because you look at the loss in productivity to having people out with coronavirus, 10 to 20 bucks in federal spending per vaccine, it would be a bunch of money. But we would see the benefits as taxpayers with that. But the other part of this is paid sick leave. How do you define that? Is it for everything now? Is it going to be for coronavirus? Is it going to be Democrats are pushing this, and the folks at AL.com pushing this. So I'm asking you, should paid sick leave be a right? 90% of y'all saying no right now on our poll.
And you know, my thoughts on this for something like coronavirus, where they're starting to nail down the specifics of how this is spread, and they know that when a lot of people get close together or are meeting with a lot of people during their day, like so many people who work in jobs that don't have paid sick leave, the virus will spread more quickly. Now, I don't think paid sick leave should be mandatory for all jobs all the time, but I wonder if under states of emergency or specific situations like this, if that could be instituted. But then that brings the question, like you asked earlier, who pays for it, the business or the government? And like you were saying, if the vaccine comes in 10, 20 bucks, If the medical companies know that the government's going to end up paying for it, our taxes are going to go towards that, does the price rise because they know it'll get paid for regardless?
Let's look at the history of the federal government being a savvy shopper.
Mm.
Yeah, I'm worried. All right, let's get an opinion here from our buddy Jeff Poor from Lanyap, Breitbart, Yellowhammer News, and, of course, the Jeff Poor Show on WVNN in Huntsville. So paid sick leave, man, it's the push out of Washington. Should this be a right, ensconced right?
No.
Wouldn't
that presuppose we had a right to a job to get to make that a right?
Yeah.
Don't you have to put, you know, put the wagon before the horse or whatever? So, no, paid sick leave should not be a right. That's silliness.
Although I do wander off into the world of big government, I guess, with my opinion on the vaccine, but I got to look at the price, but I think that might be one of those places where you could spend a little money and save a lot more money for the country, but we'll see.
Yeah, I agree with that.
All right, a lot to talk about this morning, and I guess let's start off at the top of the heap. You got a story up over at Yellowhammer News about this. It started off with a tweet from the president, and it was interesting, and not saying he's the only person that called it, but our buddy Todd Stacey was on with me yesterday and was talking about that signal poll and showing weakness for Jeff Sessions. He said, well, this is probably when we'll get the tweet from President Trump, and initially, for me, it was counterintuitive. I would have thought that President Trump would come after Jeff Sessions if he was doing well, but Todd said, no. The fact that he didn't do well in this will probably bring on the tweet, and so it did, as President Trump tweeting his endorsement. I mean, am I wrong here? It's a complete and total endorsement, he says, of Tommy Tuberville. And does that move the needle? Because also Jeff Sessions tweeting back this morning about it. Walk us through this.
No, I think this is certainly a big deal. Donald Trump doesn't want to take another L in Alabama. You know, we started with Luther Strange and then Roy Moore. He's looking to get a W here, so that's why I didn't think he was going to endorse Tuberville when if Sessions had started doing well. What it does, I mean, yeah, maybe there's a handful of people out there that are going to go and vote for Tommy Tuberville because Donald Trump endorsed him. However, what it does is it neutralizes these attack ads that Tommy Tuberville's not sufficiently on the Trump wagon, that he's actually working against Trump, as his former opponent Bradley Byrne put it, or as even Jeff Sessions is continuing to do so up until yesterday. All Tuberville's got to come back and say is, yeah, but he endorsed me. So you take that attack off the table. I think that's that's worth at least 5-6 points.
Wow.
And then,
wow,
you know, maybe 3 or 4 points throw in on top of that with the Trump endorsement. This thing could be out of hand before we know it, but we're less than 3 weeks away. I don't know what could change. If there's anybody that's holding anything back, you know, I guess a mid-March, October surprise could be on the way, perhaps. But kind of talking with the Stubberville guys a little before they got the Trump endorsement, that they're ready for everything, and they pulled everything, and they think that they're in a good spot heading into March 31st.
Well, you talk about percentages here. I mean, the Signal poll, now we always talk about one poll doesn't determine everything, but let's just work off it for a second. That was a 12% advantage for Tuberville, and now you start adding in what you said, the what it means to get the endorsement tweet from President Trump. You start adding numbers. Are you talking about a 20% lead for Tuberville here? I mean, do you think that is a fair thing to say?
I think it could be. It's also going to keep some Sessions voters at home, I'm afraid. You're going to see people that maybe don't go out and go vote for Jeff Sessions because they think it is already, the history book has already been written, as they say.
Well, I wonder about that. If Trump's tweet is enough to sway someone in Alabama one way or the other, were they going to go out and vote in the runoff anyway, and will they now, just because the president tweeted about it? I feel like a majority of the people that are going to vote in this runoff are already in one camp or the other.
I think it's going to keep people at home is my bigger point. I think you're going to keep a lot of Sessions people at home, and that is how Tuberville builds his lead, because you essentially dispirit a bunch of people that think, well, damn, I like Jeff Sessions, but he's not going to win. And there's only one thing on the ballot in most of the state. You know, you got the two congressional races, obviously. But in most of the state, people aren't going to go to the trouble to go vote on one race if they support Jeff Sessions and don't think that he can win.
But in AL1 and AL2, they'll be there anyway. I mean, this is going to be pointless to try to figure out what somebody would do, but somebody who would go out and vote, a Republican who's going to go vote in the runoff for AL1, for example, here at home, while they're there, do they go ahead and do they leave it blank, or do they go ahead and
no, they're going to go vote for whoever they want. It'll be Sessions or Tuberville in AL1, AL2, but that's maybe a little less than half of the state right there.
I know, but it would those votes be? I just wonder if it brings it closer to Tuberville. Because Tuberville was, what, 10% in Mobile County, 12% in Baldwin County? I mean, did not do much.
Yeah, I to be honest, I don't think it's going to be enough. I think, Sessions had to get 100% of Bradley Byrne's vote. What do we know about people that went with Bradley Byrne over Jeff Sessions in the primary? They were kind of ready for something different from the get-go. Maybe Sessions was their number two, maybe not. That's hard to quantify, but let's give them the benefit of the doubt. It's still going to be much lower turnout in the primary. No Donald Trump on the ballot. You're assuming you're going to have just a bigger number. I don't think you'll have that. There are a lot of hurdles for Jeff Sessions to overcome right now to get to that nomination.
Sessions tweeted last night basically saying the president can endorse anyone he chooses to, but he's going to take his case to the people of Alabama, and talks about the principles that he stood for even before President Trump ran for the office. My question is, if you're the campaign manager for Sessions, where do you go now? How do you fight back this endorsement?
I mean, I think they did the right thing last night by saying it's up to the people of Alabama. You got to start looking at things that we haven't talked about related to Donald Trump to go after Tommy Tuberville about. You know, the tax on Tuberville thus far, with the exception of the Florida stuff, but I think that's baked in, have been his comments in the Shoals about veterans and about immigration. So that's number one. And I think you've got to start kind of talking about, you need an experienced hand. There's a coronavirus epidemic going on. What do we think, Tommy Tuberville? Do you think he can handle that? There's, I think, enough there to maybe make some hay. I don't know. I guess it's going to be tough. Where Jeff Sessions did really well, look where he did really well in that primary. It was the Wiregrass, and it was here in Huntsville. It was Limestone Morgan in Madison counties. Maybe you try to run up the score up there, accentuate what led those voters to come around to the Sessions camp to begin with, and start thinking about, you know, ways to do that. Obviously, I think those two areas, Huntsville and the Wiregrass, very reliant upon government subsidies. You're running to the Richard Shelby game, I think. Wiregrass peanuts and propellers, and up here, space rocket, redstone arsenal, etc.
All right, coming right back. More with Jeff Poore. And talk a little more about the other item on the runoff ballot for Republicans here on the 31st, and that is the AL1 runoff. Club for Growth involved in this, as you've heard here on this radio station, the battle between Jerry Carl and Bill Hightower. We'll talk about that. Also take a look at what's going on Goat Hill when we return. Right, 821 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Continue our conversation with Jeff Poore. And before we get into it any further, a lot of questions on the text line. Is it one? Is it two? I know the answer, and I know these dogs, but how many dogs are with you there?
There are two golden doodles. One is just a puppy. The other is Harvey, who we've talked about, I think, on the show a few times.
Yes.
And they must follow me around at all times when I'm in front of a microphone in my apartment here in Huntsville.
I love it, man. They're cool dogs. Cool dogs. And I like that. We have dogs even in studio some here when we're doing, and sometimes here in the studio when we're doing shows. So we're cool with that. All right, let's shift gears from the Senate race for a second to AL1 in the runoff. And it's, it's pretty contentious. I'm sure AL2 is the same thing, but here the shots are flying back and forth in the accusations between the Carl camp and the Hightower camp.
I think this race is one of the more compelling races in the country right now, the AL1 race. It's close.
Yeah.
It's going to go down. How much does Club for Growth participate? One thing we know about Club for Growth, they got in the middle of the Senate race, and they pretty much knocked Bradley Byrne out of it. They ended it for him with their advertising. They have essentially unlimited resources to come into the first congressional district and play, and they're not afraid to spend money in Mobile where half of that dollar goes to Florida where it doesn't matter. So I think that's a big deal. It's going to be tough, but Jerry Carl seems to be well financed in a good spot to take him on. That to me makes it much more interesting. We're talking a little bit about the X's and O's of it. It's a fight for Mobile, but we don't have a Baldwin County presence, so you don't really take that into account. What's going to happen as the days unfold? I wouldn't think that Donald Trump's going to get in the middle of it or anything like that. But I mean, is it a battle to who could be the Trumpiest? And that's something I wonder about. It doesn't seem that way so far, but I'll say this: it's a much closer, tighter, and as I said, more compelling race than AL2, which Jeff Coleman at AL2 seems to be in pretty good spot to take that one.
I want to talk a bit about, we've done this before, but it's worth doing because I get texts about it, I think every day, and several texts this morning about Club for Growth. This PAC that's come in, you said that was anybody but Byrne before, is now working against Jerry Carl. And I want to point out that when the endorsements have come in here from Wes Lambert and from Chris Pringle for Jerry Carl, they both have referenced this kind of litmus test that Club for Growth gave them.
Yeah, and Club for Growth, for whatever reason, likes to play in Alabama politics. It's an interesting kind of trying to figure out how the lines are connected between Bill Hightower and why Club for Growth has gone to him. You know, pro business, what does that mean? Or is there a voting record or something? You can't really compare a county commissioner's voting record to a state senator's voting record. I think whatever the reason is of how they got to where they are on Bill Hightower, that's one interesting thing. One thing I would point out real quick, I know that Club for Growth goes out in the field and polls a lot, maybe weekly. One thing that you want to notice during the Senate race, Club for Growth was willing to put those numbers out, make them public. Not so much in this AL1 race. Maybe that tells us something. Maybe that tells us that Jerry Carl's in a good spot. We haven't seen those Club for Growth numbers. I know they're out in the field and looking at how close and how tight it is, but it could show a neck-and-neck race, or it could show Jerry Carl still out in front getting some help with those two endorsements.
Yeah, and it's, you know, that in those endorsements kind of beg the question, you know, how do those votes split? Or the first question is, we always talk about, will the people that vote, they voted in the primary, the Republican primary, their candidate did not win, not in the runoff. How many of those people then show back up to vote for another candidate based on the endorsement or just based on their gut feeling?
I think you get some of them. I don't think there were really staunch people in a Chris Pringle or John Castorani or Wes Lambert camp that are going to just stay at home and sit this one out. There's two good races. There's two good races to participate in on the AL1 ballot. You're going to have good turnout. I mean, it may not be primary turnout, but it's going to be probably the top turnout in the state. And that's why I tell these folks, man, don't count out Mobile. Don't count out Baldwin County. It's up for grabs. That's one to watch for sure. So, you know, take it for what it's worth. I think you got the most interesting, front seat for the most interesting politics headed to March 31st in the state.
All right, let's switch gears and go to Montgomery. They, unlike the Florida House, the business as usual on Goat Hill yesterday for the House and the Senate, I saw most critical legislation here to adopt daylight saving time year-round, but only if the federal government does it. I'm a big proponent of DST, but that was a non-bill. I mean, if the feds do it, we'll do it. What actually happened? What are they working on in Montgomery?
That one there is, I think they would still leave it up to the states. There's always, some states don't right now do it.
Right, Indiana, Arizona.
That was a very strong effort from our in Montgomery. I know Florida wants to go and think about how this would really mess things up if they did away and they went one time in Florida from Pensacola all the way to Key West and did away with daylight savings time. Think what that would mean. Driving from Tallahassee to Mobile, you would lose like 2 hours instead of just one. There's a push to do it on their own. I know in the Senate, speaking of Florida, Marco Rubio is a big part of that push. But something, Sean, we always talk about this whenever the time changes, then it kind of goes away.
Yeah.
And nothing ever happens. We forget about it. In 2 weeks, no one's going to remember springing forward. And then in 6 months, we'll talk about falling back. But then 2 weeks after that, people will forget about it.
Are they just using this to avoid any discussion of lotto or prisons?
A lot of interesting stuff on the lottery pill. Prisons, not so much. Prisons bothers me because it's been real quiet. And, the feds are really looking at trying to get... making sure that we get to where we need to be on the whole prison issue. But the lottery, we talk about Steve Klaus's bill. He is the Ways and Means Chairman, General Fund Chairman in the House. He dropped the bill. It has good co-sponsors. It has the Speaker, Mac McCutcheon. It also has Nathaniel Ledbetter's name on it. Those are three heavy hitters. But the question is, where does it go when we get to the Senate? Is the House putting a lottery bill together to pass it, knowing that it has no prayer in the Senate, and that's what we're seeing maybe go on here, just to say, hey, guys, we tried, we did the best we could, but we couldn't quite get there.
Yeah, it's a discussion for another day, but the task force looking into this, the impaneled lottery group, it doesn't bother me that they might look into the compact offer, but I mean, come on. Like, we need any more research into lotto? I don't buy it.
Well, I mean, it's clearly the task force is a punt by the governor.
Yep.
My lining up column, and I know you're running short of time here, but my lining up column talks about how deferential the Alabama legislature has been to the governor's office, and I think that's really hurt them in this first part of the quadrennium.
All right, y'all check that out in Lining Up, and of course at LiningUpMobile.com. Jeff, people want to follow you online. How do they do it?
It's twitter.com/Jeff_Poor, and that sometimes comes with dog photos.
Yes. Yes, you get to see those pups right there on the Twitter feed. Jeff, we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for having me on, Sean.
Always a pleasure. All right, I'll grab some phone calls when we get back. A lot of people want to talk about this paid sick leave. And we'll talk about the poll numbers as well on that when we return.
FM Talk 106.5 coming to the phones next on Mobile Mornings. First, let's head over to McConnell Automotive and talk to Louie Arata. Hey, Louie.
Good morning.
Hey, let's talk about the great deals we can get this month at McConnell Automotive. What's going on?
We've got all kinds of stuff going on. We got, there's the phone. We got 0% going on the new side. We got some great deals going on pre-owned certified. Don't forget, that gives you an extra 12 for the factory warranty. Got some nice little interest rate on those too. We got plenty of those in stock now. We I bought a bunch yesterday from down in Orlando. Got some Acadias, Enclaves, the new LaCrosse. Don't forget about those Mardi Gras trucks. We got a few of those left. You need to go pick those up. Like I said, we got 0% on those. Got a great service department. Go back and see Charles Prim and all the guys, and Thomas, he's working the service lane. Go tell him you heard us on the radio, and just come see us at McConnell Automotive. For check it out online at McConnellAutomotive.com.
All right. Thank you, Louie.
Thank you.
Louie Arata, you'll find him at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street just east of I-65.
Right, phone number 343-0106, 343-0106 for the text line, too. Coming to the phones, but Sarah on the text line said, sorry, I have to clock in. I don't think sick leave should be mandatory. That is one of the perks of taking a job, one job over another job. I will say that a retail company I used to work for had the right idea, and instead of having sick leave and vacation, they lumped it all into one. I ended up with a month of paid days off. I could either use them as sick leave or as vacation, and that they would roll over if I didn't use them. I think that gives incentive not to take advantage of the system. So this discussion comes from the... First of all, it's a discussion that went on in Washington, okay? So the Democrats are trying to push that, hey, while we're doing all this stuff for coronavirus, we need to have paid sick leave. It's a tough one because in the short term, you can make it, I could turn around and make an argument here, how pragmatically and strategically paid sick leave could help lessen the effect of a outbreak like coronavirus or something else. But are you going to grow the government into mandating sick leave? Like Jeff said, does that mandate the right to the job in the first place? And then you mandate sick leave, who pays for it? You know, and then how quickly does somebody figure out a way to abuse it? And that's the problem, too, out there, that about every system there is in the federal government has somebody taking advantage of it. What about this? And by the way, our online opinion poll question brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. We asked that question, should paid sick leave be a right, as they said in the AL.com opinion piece yesterday. Right now, it is, man, it's moving here. 82% say no, 18% say yes.
You know, I'm always on the side of the business owner, but I'm having trouble squaring up that if we've got something like the coronavirus moving through, and they say it's being spread through the air, and we get upset with people that are supposed to be self-quarantining for 14 days, and they don't stay self-quarantined. Mm-hmm. They go out and they spread the coronavirus to other people. But those people, you know, they need to make money,
right?
If they're living paycheck to paycheck like so many Americans are. So I think, you know, this is a really interesting discussion because what do we want? Do we want the public health to be most important thing? And if this could limit it, that would be major. Or do we want to ensure that no businesses go out of business because they can't afford to pay the sick leave? It's really interesting.
All right, to the phones. And Derek in Fairhope up first. Yes, Derek.
All right, so it's a no-brainer. It's a no-brainer. China is somewhat being celebrated because of their authoritarian approach to the mass quarantine.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only way you can break this cycle. Now, to the argument of whether or not there should be paid sick leave, what the government's going to do, all right, the government's been bailing everybody else out. They've been bailing out the big banks since October with the overnight repurchase rates.
Right.
So why not? Why not
do something
for the common people? Because they're going to sacrifice the health for the economy.
There we go. So interesting. Mm-hmm. Derek says this is if you're going to have government bailing out industry, why don't they bail out citizens? All right. Let's go to Ruby in Mobile next. Hey, Ruby.
Good morning, Sean.
Morning.
My call was about the Sessions-Tuberville runoff.
Okay.
My concern is that Tuberville, anybody that can do a quick Google search can find out that Tuberville was involved in a security fraud case in 2012 that was settled. I think his business partner was sentenced to like 10 years. What type of opposition research is the Doug Jones campaign sitting on waiting for the primary?
Well, and I would say this. I think that, and Jeff mentioned it, and that's, I think both of them could beat Doug Jones, but I think there's a better chance of Tuberville losing to Doug Jones than Jeff Sessions. That's just my take.
I agree. I'm a Trump supporter. I can say that wholeheartedly, but I'm also a Sessions supporter. I voted for Bradley Byrne in the primary, but I'm 100% Jeff Sessions because the unknowns about Tuberville scare me to death and make me think that they're be another term for Doug Jones.
So seeing the tweet,
too much unknown.
Seeing the tweet and the endorsement from President Trump does not sway your vote.
It does not.
There we go. Ruby, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Let's go to, because by the way, too, I got to talk about this presser coming up here in a little bit, too. There's a Sheriff Sam Cochran's going to have a press conference at 9:30 this morning. We'll talk more about that in a little bit. Roger in the Bayou. Hey, Roger.
Hey, I see that the Republicans in Washington can't learn from their mistakes from before, and that includes the president there or those handlers of his. They need to let the people here pick who their candidates are and then support those candidates when they run against the Democrats. Sessions is by far the best candidate of the two. And I'm wholeheartedly going to support him, and I hope that he does get the nomination because I think that he should easily beat Doug Jones. And the same thing you see in the AL1 race, the Club for Growth is diving in here, and I noticed they had some ads on your station there just the last time around here. Anytime somebody like that or that's a disqualification. I always liked Jerry Carl a little better than Hightower. I just thought he was a better candidate, and now that Hightower has got the Club for Growth on with him, that's a disqualifier for me right there.
There we go. Appreciate the call. This text here from Ken, he says, as someone that wants new blood in Washington, I'm all for Tommy Tuberville being in the Senate. However, as an Auburn football fan, I watched him for years, and I'm not sure he's the hardest worker I've ever seen. I know that's off the subject for today, but just my two cents.
So. Well, the good news is they already get a bunch of time off in Washington, so he should have time to recuperate if he is selected. We've got one text from an unnamed texter. Trump endorsement doesn't change my mind either. I'm voting for Sessions.
All right. Let's see. I tell you what, I'm going to take one more here, or two more, and then we'll run to the break, because I do want to get in a discussion about what may be coming our way today. Maybe I have a little advance notice on what this press conference is going to be today. Thomas is in Theodore, and up next. Hey, Thomas.
Hey, good morning, Sean. Thank you for having me on. I think Sheriff Cochran is going to talk about Kay Ivey's hair.
Most likely you're right. You broke the news.
I think that's what it's going to be about, and it's going to be about sanitation and hair. But, these people that are saying no to the required sick leave, I got a problem with it, but I also think that if somebody has worked for your company for a long time, it's a big company too. I don't think you can put this on small companies. That would be too much for them. You'd have to have a write-off for the companies that do indulge in this, but I think that the people must have an excuse, just like in school, from your doctor for every day you claim that you can't come to work, that you're that sick, you're carrying your head in a bag, so to speak, and you just can't work.
Okay. Well, so you're saying yes, but with some exceptions on that. Let's go to Larry in Mobile next. Hey, Larry.
Hey, Sean. Two things. One of them, this would be just like the toll bridge. If you got a business, that's going to be an expense. You're going to have to try to figure out how many days or how many hours that you would have to add to the cost of a job.
Yep.
Second thing being is that I'm hoping that whenever they've done this poll for Sessions, because I'm certainly 100% Sessions and was before, that they did not take in consideration all of Baldwin County that primarily voted the other way. So,
yep.
But that's my hope, and we're politicking for Sessions all the way.
There we go. Larry, I appreciate your call. And you look at the numbers, and that's part of what I was talking about with Jeff, at least down here, with Jeff Poore. Talk about with him is that Tupperville did 10% in Mobile County, 12% in Baldwin County. Of course, it's all in the balance of Bradley Byrne voters. Do they show back up? And if they do, where do they go? Because Bradley made big hay, I think 52% in Mobile County, 56% in Baldwin County. They show back up, but is it enough to deal with the Tupperville factor elsewhere in the state? That's I want to say that people will vote the things they know and not worry about what the president tweets, but then you look, it's not just social media. I look at the text line and the emails I get, and a lot of people are like, whatever President Trump says, that's how I'm going to vote. I guess there's some clarity to that, and for some people, I'm not saying you don't vote that way, but saying the tweet from the president is what makes your decision. Man, that's, I don't know.
Yeah, I think a bigger question is, are the people that showed up to vote for Byrne, or even the people that showed up to vote for Roy Moore, are they emboldened enough to go to the polls this time for the runoff and vote for their new preferred candidate?
Well, exactly. I mean, how in are you on a AL1 Republican primary candidate is the same as, you know, where people are on the presidential side, that you wouldn't show back up because your candidate is not on the ballot. I don't know. It's a question that we're going to see on the 31st. Hey, heads up, even before then, the Wharf Boat and Yacht Show coming to the Wharf, and that's why they call it the Wharf Boat and Yacht Show.
Oh.
March 20th through 22nd. It starts on Friday with the Red Carpet Spectacular. Saturday is Ladies' Day. Sunday, Military and First Responder Appreciation Day. And there are, listen to some stats from, I think it was from last year and beyond and before. They produce sales in excess of $20 million each year at the Wharf Boat and Yacht Show. Over $150 million in boats and marine products on display. Exhibitors list that reads like a who's who of the marine industry. Plus, not only the boats inside, 160 wet slip boats and yachts on display outside at the wharf. More than 650 sport and console boats on land. Plus, Boat US will be there with their on-water training, which is really cool. There's all kind of exhibitors and things to do for the full family. Now, general admission tickets are $10 on Friday, $12 on Saturday, $10 on Sunday, and military and first responders at $8 with the ID required. Children 12 and under get in free. You can go to wharfboatshow.com. It's the Wharf Boat and Yacht Show coming up March 20th through 22nd in Orange Beach. All right, 8:48. We'll come right back. And yeah, there's a press conference slated for 9:30 this morning. It was announced by Mobile County Sheriff Sam Cochran, and it's a discussion, he said, that hinges around annexation. Okay, so because he's been in this discussion a whole bunch, of course, because what it would mean for the Sheriff's Department if they pull back from the police jurisdiction for the city of Mobile. We'll get into that when we get back. FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Morning. Sean Sullivan, Dalton Orwig, glad to have you along with us. And yeah, join us again at noon for Midday Mobile. Coming up at 9:30 this morning, at least the way we were told, Mobile County Sheriff Sam Cochran has a press conference talking about annexation and some issues here on maybe how to get things done, because it's a real issue. If the city pulls back from the 70,000 involved in the police jurisdiction, even over time, that would become the work of the Sheriff's Department to do that patrol. And of course, Sheriff said 48 more deputies would have to be added to do that. But we'll see what this is about. But 9:30 this morning, although I did notice this. Let's talk about this, Dalton, because you pointed it out. Know that if you're going to try to be snarky or like get at me on social media, you better at me, because I don't see everything. So on Team Sheriff's Facebook page,
mm-hmm.
where the little graphic is for Ask the Sheriff, that yesterday, of course, second Tuesday of the month, when the sheriff was on with me, says tune into 106.5 second Tuesday of every month to hear Sheriff Sam Cochran on Midday Mobile. Okay, so under that, in the comments, Jimmy says, okay, Sean, thank you for spelling my name correctly. Okay, Sean, why are you a class traitor?
Finally, someone asked it.
I've been wondering the same thing myself, so I'm going to like this. I'm fat now. That's all I care about. Even though there's a big press, even though there's a big press conference coming up, and we got the coronavirus issues, and we're talking about the runoff here coming up March 31st, and we've got all these other news items going on. I'm a class traitor. So, what class did I? What class am I? And then my traitorous nature. Where did that come from?
Right. So, how long have we had the sheriff on the second Tuesday of every month? It's been 4 years.
Yeah, at least.
At least. So, that's
but now
my question.
I'm a class traitor.
When did you turn on the blue collar workers around here?
How am I a class traitor? I've got to get to this guy to find out how. But if you're going to say something like I'm a class traitor, make sure, because I'm on Facebook, you can, do the app thing, and so I know when I'm being called. I would never have seen this if I hadn't gone over for an update on this press conference to Team Sheriff on Facebook. I would have known that I was a class. This is fascinating. Mm-hmm. I'm going to add this. So I've got an event coming up next month, and this is something I'm so horrible at, one of the many things. I've asked to do a bio, so I'm going to speak to a group, and I have to have a bio for them to say, mm-hmm. And I hate writing those things. But now I was looking for, I'm going to put in, Sean Sullivan, Mobile guy Sean Sullivan, who, works at FM Talk 106.5, has a wife and two children, two dogs, likes the outdoors, likes Bama football, is a class traitor, enjoys Mardi Gras and seafood, and is also a class traitor.
I was even thinking, the About section on your own Facebook page.
Class traitor.
And your Twitter bio.
Class traitor.
Go ahead and add that on there, too.
It's beautiful.
You've been branded.
I just don't. But I'm fascinated about the details. What class was I betraying, and what did I change classes? I'm fascinated. That's all I can think about. Hey, by the way, a lot more tweets or texts coming in about this. President Trump's tweet doesn't change my mind either. I'm voting for Sessions. David says, how can you call yourself a Trump supporter and not support his preferred candidate for Senate? Ben says, sick leave is not a right. It's just one of those things you look forward to when you get a better job than the one you have now. It's a perk to help you strive to do better in your life. He also says, Sessions was pro-Trump before Trump was president. Now he's pro-Alabama and pro-Trump, and he's the best for Alabama, which is more important than being the best for Trump. Let me just, once again, offer that idea into the mix, into the ether here. President Trump wins re-election. We're all hoping, at least people from the Republican side, conservative side, wins re-election. Okay, after 4 years, he's finished. He's term limited. Who's going to carry on the ideas? If you love the Trump agenda, if that's your thing, when President Trump is gone, does it go away? When you worship a cult of personality, then when that personality goes away, so do those ideas, unless you start a bigger movement. And you think about all the references to Reagan and Reagan Republicans and all the things that followed. Those were people that took the ideas of Reagan after Reagan was not president and kept pushing for him. Who's going to be able to push those ideas going forward when President Trump is not President Trump? Something to cipher on here over the next few hours. We'll talk about it again coming up at noon. We'll probably be talking about this press conference with the sheriff and my class traitorous ways.